Good morning. I'm excited for all of that. I'm excited that we are launching this new preaching series on mission or evangelism, going out, telling people about Jesus is what we mean when we're talking about that. And but in reality, I think that evangelism and mission for most of us, it's something that we know we should be excited about. I should be excited that Joe's going to come and start a preaching series on mission. Wee, evangelism, wee, love it. I suspect actually something that most of us are not that excited by, because we can think, well, here comes a healthy dose of you can do better. You need to do better than this and up your game. We can feel, oh, this is just, I'm not saying this is bad, but this is just going to be a time for me to think I really need to improve in this area. But we've called this series Good News, right? We love the gospel. I mean, we love that. We love singing and praising him and being together as Grace Church and worshiping and giving him praise for all of that. But then we get given a job. You think, ah, there's always a catch, isn't there? Mission can feel like the inevitable catch on the good news of the gospel. Now, there's always some exceptions to this. There's some evangelists out in among you who love it, and praise God for you. But I think for most of us, we cannot be so keen. So my title for this morning is sharing the good news bad news? Yeah, the good news is great, but is sharing it, well, that's the bad news. That's the negative part of it. Why don't you chat it out? Take a moment and just talk to someone next to you. If you're kind of a guest this morning, then feel free to kind of just explain that. But talk about, how do you feel when I say, we're launching a new preaching series on mission, what is your gut reaction? Honestly, just talk it out. Take a minute to do that. You might meet someone new, that'd be good. Okay. I'll call you back in. I might have regretted that, but it's good to chat it out. I hope maybe you did meet someone new. It's good. It's a good opportunity for that today. The aim of this morning, really of this series as we preach through it, is actually to help us to see the connection that there is rather than the conflict there is between worship and missions, worship and evangelism. We, as a church, have a vision, which is, Grace Church has a vision to enjoy the grace of God and to declare and demonstrate that grace to the communities that we live in. I want us to see through this series that it's not that enjoying the grace of God is the nice bit of our vision. That's the kind of the good bit. And then the declaring, which is just telling people the good news and demonstrating, kind of showing them, that's the kind of necessary but less nice bit, you know, and that's the thing. I want us to see, actually, this is all our vision, and it is all good. It's not worship, yay, mission, but actually they're connected in two positive and important ways. First way is that the aim, the goal of mission is worship. When we say worship, by the way, I'm not just talking about singing songs, I'm talking about enjoying God and living for him. And that's actually, you know this probably, don't you? It's fairly obvious that the goal of mission is that more people come to worship. We tell people the good news and hope that they come to know of the good news for themselves. this kind of obvious connection. But secondly, the other way they're connected is that it's not just the goal, but the fuel, the motivation, the driver for mission is also worship. So worship is kind of the why of mission, and it's the how of mission. It's how we do it. I don't mean we'll just, you know, sing some songs, shout to the Lord, and then kind of see if anyone gets saved and hope that that's our strategy. That's not what I mean. But I mean the more we worship and the more that we receive from God, the more we will be equipped and stirred and fueled to go on mission for him. What does gospel mean? Does anyone know? Good news. Good news. Gospel means, that word gospel means good news in the New Testament. Euangelion is the word. It was originally written in Greek. It's translated into English for us, where we get euangelion, where we get the word evangelism. And euangelion kind of is two words. It's a compound word. It means good announcement, kind of good proclamation, good news. So it's a good translation. And you'd use a gospel in that context, sort of, you maybe would have proclaimed the good news would be to say that we've won a battle, so the king is still on the throne. And that's a good announcement. That was the gospel. And so the gospel in its very nature is both good and it is news. It is an announcement. It is something to be shared. We kind of know that. If I were to come to you and say, I've got some good news, you wouldn't just think, great, so pleased for you. You would expect me to share the good news with you and then explain what that was. Hence the graphic. I don't know if you can see it. Oh, you can a bit. It's kind of, you've got the idea. It is good. We do receive. It's good news and we praise God for it. It is also an announcement that we proclaim to people. And we want to be a gospel-centered church. We want to be built on the gospel. That means that we must be built on the grace of God and not doing things to earn favor, but we're doing it out of gratitude for all that he's done. It also means we must be a proclaiming church. We must be a church that goes and tells people the good news. We preached through Matthew recently, as many of you know, but we stopped at the resurrection. We got to Easter, kind of stopped there, which means we didn't do the end. We didn't actually do the very end of the gospel, which is Matthew 28. And so if you've got a Bible, do turn there. We're going to read the very end of Matthew's gospel, which is verses 16 to 20. They'll come up on the screen, but it's helpful to have it open in front of you. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. It says, "It's then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" It's amazing the way Matthew finishes his gospel. We find out at the beginning in verse 1 of the gospel that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the King of Israel. We find out here, actually, he's not just the King of Israel. He's not even just the King of the world. He's the King of heaven and earth. All authority is his. In the beginning, Jesus is said to me, there'll be a baby, you'll call him Emmanuel, means God with us. At the end, it finishes, he will be with you to the very end of the age. This is a glorious summary. And the end of Matthew is tied to the beginning of Matthew. And actually the end, as you kind of got a gist there, is really more of a beginning than an end. That's not kind of summing it up, is it? That's not like, right, job done. That was a beginning. There, now you can start. Now go, Jesus says to his disciples. So Jesus, his time when he walked the earth came to an end. But the time that when he is at work among his people, that is just beginning. He sends out his disciples to start declaring God's grace to the world, and he promises to be with them. And as we go into this season, as Grace Church in our three locations, and talk about how to live out this great commission, as it's often called, that Jesus gives to his people, I pray that we would see that worship and mission are not in conflict. It's not you've had your fun, now get in with the job. But the worship is both the aim and the fuel for mission. Worship is the aim of mission. Let me give some big picture perspective on our mission, right? So it's not just a little thing that we are up to. What is this about? Why is this something that God talks about? Big picture on the Great Commission, on God's plan for salvation. This plan for people to come and to know and enjoy God and his grace, for people to come and worship. So this mission is nothing new, by the way. I don't mean it's just because this was written 2,000 years ago. It was nothing new then. Not new for us today. It wasn't new then. Actually, this has been God's plan from the beginning. You go right back to Genesis, to the very beginning. Genesis 1, which is hard to go further back than that. Genesis 1, verse 28, says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. It's right there. It's just go and fill the earth. Unfortunately, sin got in the way in Genesis 3, but God's plan didn't change. The goal didn't change. And then Genesis 12, he appears to Abraham, and he says, I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Everyone. All people blessed through Abraham. It's there throughout the Old Testament, right? I was just kind of trying to say this has always been the plan. Another example, I could give loads of them, but Psalm 96, verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. All peoples, all nations. It is a global plan. The aim has always been that his glory would be known across the earth. There's nothing new there. Also, it's God's mission. It is God's mission, and therefore, it's going to go well, right? He's good at stuff. It's God's mission, so it will be successful. Imagine kind of your boss at work, or it comes to you and, say, 10 other people, so there's 11 of you, say, and says, right, here's a house. I want you to kind of redevelop it, paint it, decorate it, work on it, make it great, make it lovely, and I'll come back at some point in the future when it's done. Crack on. I think we can often feel like evangelism is like that. God's just given us this job. He's left us to get on with it and to work hard, even though we've got no idea what we're doing. That would not be good if someone gave me that job. It would not go well. We've not got the resources. We're not equipped at all to do it. We just kind of soldier through and see what we can do. That's how we feel. But the reality is, it's his house, right? He built the house. He is redeveloping the house. He is painting the house. He has got all the plans, and he is doing all the work on the house. He's just got us involved in what he is doing. It is God's mission to bless the nations. He gets us involved. What a privilege. What joy. We get to be involved in what God is doing. And because it's God's mission, it will go well. It will succeed with or without us. You get that. It's going to succeed. It's not kind of, we need to do a preaching series because I'm not sure it's going to work otherwise. We need to do some events. It will succeed. In many ways, it already has. It's already happened. The fact that this message has reached us, right? And we are singing about this. Jesus just told these 11 kind of misfits 2,000 years ago, go and make disciples in what we now call the Middle East. The fact you realise the fact that it's reached Chichester and Bognor and Havant, we are the ends of the earth. It has succeeded. It is honestly, I think it's a hard thing for unbelievers to account for. How on earth has the church done so well? It's a miracle. It's only by the power of God. It has succeeded, and it is succeeding. In the UK today, we might be a bit discouraged. This is the kind of thing that came out in the census, that for the first time, less than 50% of people in the UK call themselves Christians, which, I mean, come off it. 47% or something, there is no way. There's no way 47% of people in the UK are Christians. Christian means Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, that you're living for him. No, it's way less than 47%. But that's just the reality. It's way less than that. It's just this weird kind of post-Christian country we live in where people say they are, even they don't. So we might be discouraged. We might look at the UK and think, you know, because church is struggling across this country. All the more reason to persevere and pray, by the way. I genuinely believe, kind of because of that, that we're ripe for a move of God. We're ripe for revival among us. But we might be discouraged. But globally, that's not the case. Let's not just say because globally, if today is normal, based on the last 20 years, and it's actually not because it's Sunday, so it probably would be more. But if today is normal, there'd be about 30,000 people come to know Jesus today. If it's normal. And it'll probably be more than that. So we're baptizing 3. For every one we baptize, there are 10,000 people becoming a Christian today. Praise God. God is a move. Christianity is not a white religion, right? It's not a British religion at all. 1953, the Chinese government threw out all missionaries. There were about, so they kind of took a bit of time because they're called the bamboo curtain. It threw out all Christian ministries. It was left with about 1 million Christians in China with no kind of real strong support network. Over the last 4 decades, it's gone from 1 million to 100 million believers in China. And if you're a Christian in China, you are a Christian, right? You don't just fill in a survey. You mean Jesus is your Lord and Savior if you fill that in. They reckon soon, if it carries on, there'll be more Christians in China than there are people in the UK. God is at work globally. His mission is succeeding, and it will succeed to a degree that we can hardly even imagine, can hardly get our heads around. Habakkuk 2:14, again, it's in the Old Testament, it's there, says this kind of foretelling, that which is what's going to happen. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As the waters cover the sea. The waters do cover the sea, don't they? The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Not just the glory, the knowledge. The earth will be full of it. Everyone will know of the glory of the Lord. What a day. John, the apostle, got a glimpse of it. In Revelation 7, he writes, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This is the future. His mission has succeeded. It is succeeding. It will succeed because God is good at things. That's the goal of mission, right? That people come and gladly worship God and rejoice in him. People knowing the goodness of the good news. So that when we tell them the news, they see for themselves how good and desirable the news is. That it is good news. It's a bit bigger than us. You get that? It's a bit bigger than us. It's great. I'm excited to have a full room here and be praising God and making a loud noise. This mission is bigger than us, and it's happening whether we get involved or not. But let's get involved. We have a part to play. So worship is the goal. But it's not to kind of just to be over us until we get it, because worship, and that is enjoying God, is also the fuel of mission. it is also the thing that is going to equip us for it. Our taking on of this mission is an overflow of our enjoyment of this good news. There's lots of reasons why we can feel like sharing the good news is bad news, right? We can sharing the good news. There's lots of reasons why that might be the case. I don't know what you're talking about, but there's insecurities in it. There's fear of failing. There's a lot of cultural sensitivity you're going to be mindful of. There's just busyness for us, right? We just got so much on. There's a lot of reasons why we're not on it. We don't want to rock the boat. We've kind of got a good thing going on with these people. We don't want to just offend them and lose that connection. Maybe we don't feel that we have the right to do it. And we're going to speak into these as we go through this series. Kind of what are the things that are holding us back? We'll speak into it. But a preacher called Michael Reeves has written a book called God Shines Forth. The subtitle is How, this is a good subtitle, How the Nature of God Shapes and Drives the Mission of the Church. This is in line with it. He says in there, the problem at the root of all our struggles with mission is almost certainly right at the beginning with our view of God. Unless we honestly find God to be beautiful and enjoyable, we'll have nothing worth saying to the people around us. Unless we honestly find God to be beautiful and enjoyable, we'll have nothing worth saying to the people around us. If we are to be excited and equipped for mission, we've got to know who God is. We've got to have a right view of who God is. Now, if we know the good news, we do know the kind of God that God is, right? If we know, then we know he is gracious and merciful. But we can then think about sharing the good news, and we slip in to a place where we just forget how good that news is. We kind of slip into thinking he's just some kind of distant, power-hungry, demanding, divine being. We can think that, that's why we've got to do mission. But we know the good news. We know the good of the good news that he is calling to us to share with the world, which shows us that he is actually a self-giving Savior who longs to fill the earth with joy, with beauty and truth. We know that he is a God that loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We know he is a giving God, a self-giving, gracious and merciful God. We've got to have a right view of who he is in order to be on mission. We want people to come and see and know and believe in him, because unless we honestly find God to be beautiful and enjoyable, we have nothing worth saying to the people around us. We really won't. So we need to know God, but we also need to enjoy who God is in order to be on mission. We need to love God. We need to be glad in God. Happy mission presupposes a happy Christian. If you're going to enjoy it, you've got to be happy in the gospel, because you can't really tell someone that something is good if you don't think that that thing is good. You can't, hey, I've been to, there's a new Indian place in town or whatever. Have you gone and checked it out? I think you'd really like it. Oh, have you been there? Do you like it? Oh, yeah, I don't like it. Just thought you might like it. We've got to, oh, it's amazing. I love it. You've got to, and you know how this works, and you're telling people about anything. When you just find, oh, I love this thing. You should come and see this thing. I love it. If you can't persuade someone to like something that you don't like, if we don't truly enjoy God and his grace, then declaring it is not going to be a good advert. You can't commend what you don't cherish. So if we're to say with the psalmist, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad, be happy, and sing for joy. If we're to pray that for the nation, if we're to call on that, we first need to also be able to say, for you make me glad by your deeds. Lord, I sing for joy at what you have done. How great are your works, Lord.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands and rejoice at what you have done. You have made me glad.
You've made me, you get it? Oh Lord, we pray. We are so glad in you. We are so happy in you. We are so rejoicing at what you have done. And we long, God, that the nations would be glad in you. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you, O Lord, are glorious and worthy, and we love you. We enjoy you, God, and we pray that the nations would enjoy you. We pray that our communities would enjoy you. We pray that Chichester and Bognor and Haven, that they would come to know joy in the Lord. Not come to just submit, but come to know joy in the Lord and know the joy of the good news that God gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Lord, would they come to rejoice in that? Amen. You see how we've got to know it and enjoy it for ourselves first. We've got to enjoy his grace. And when we do, mission will flow. We'll have to do it. When we know and love it, we know we are so glad in him. We will long for others to know and be glad in him. It is the inevitable outcome of the revelation in Christ, says Michael Green in his commentary. Once you have found it, you long to spread it. The inevitable outcome of the revelation in Christ. You find it, you long to spread it. We tell people the news so that they will know the good. That's the goal, right? Worship is the goal of missions. And the more that we know the good, the more we will tell the news. That's the fuel. The more we know the goodness of this good news. So it's not come on, do better. It's rejoice at what God has done. Rejoice in the Lord and mission will flow. Mission begins and ends in worship. Worship is the aim, it is the fuel. So, therefore, go. Know him, know his grace, enjoy him, and enjoy his grace. It's not just a nicety, that is a necessity. Do that. Enjoy him and his grace. Don't forget all this, don't move on from this. Always come back to the enjoyment of him and of his gospel. But there is no getting away from the fact that he has commanded us to go. He has said, therefore, go and make disciples. There is a conscious step involved in going. It's not just, we're just, it will flow. It is the inevitable outcome. But we've got to make the step and say, I'm going to go. I am going to take your gospel. As a church, we've got to be about mission and multiplication and not maintenance and management. We're not just trying to kind of, hey, look, do you know, actually in the UK, if we just manage our numbers, we're winning. We're beating most people. We've got to be about multiplication. We've got to be about mission and going and believing God to do something and calling on the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. We've got to be a disciple-making church. Certainly to our communities. It doesn't depend on us. The nations will worship. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. But we are called to our communities. We are called to our neighbours. After all, how can they call on one that they've not believed in? How can they believe in someone that they have not heard of? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they know the good without us telling them the news? That's why we're doing these events, right? All these things and bouncy castles. Do you know what? I did not go into the ministry for event organizing. We don't just do it. We do it because we've got to be out there. Yeah. We've got to make connections. We've got to show the grace of God to people, demonstrate it as well as declare it. We do it because they need to know the gospel. They're perishing without the gospel. I'm excited to build bridges. I'm excited for that. I'm in for that, and so I'm willing to organize some events. I steer clear as much as I can, but I'm willing to be involved because we're about the gospel. We're about people coming to know him and his goodness. This is God's mission that he's got us involved with. And it is critical that he goes with us. That little kind of an I'll be with you, to the we can think that's a nice addendum. That's a nice way to finish it off. That is a game changer. That changes everything. I will be with you always to the end of the age. God said that. God said that to us. Jesus is God. He's saying that the Spirit of God himself will be and is with us always to the end of the age. You know, it's not like a random moment for Jesus to be saying this. He is saying, as you go, I am with you. In mission, as you go and fulfill what I've called you to do, I am going with you. Because my mission really is more that you're coming with me, but I am going with you. It's not just a random moment for him to say this. I love this one. Commentator says, I love it when commentators say oomphy things. It says, the promise of God's presence is not so much a cozy reassurance, which is what we can often treat it as. That'd be nice. I'm going to have a nice reassurance. The promise of God's presence is not so much a cozy reassurance as a necessary equipment for mission. A necessary equipment. I would stand and I'm going to pray again for us to call on God. Maybe the band could come. We're doing quite well for time. We've got time. So we're going to sing a couple of songs. But this is a good opportunity this morning as we're all here together. And we do, again, even these Together Sundays, I love them. I love being together. And we kind of do them partly just because we love them. But it is also an envisioning moment. This is an exciting opportunity we have this morning for God to speak to us and to stir us. So I want to pray for us. I want us to know his presence among us as a necessary equipment for mission. So why don't you just come before God where you are now? I want to pray for us. We've got time here. I'm not trying to drum anything up artificially, but I want the Spirit of God to move and fill us and send us out. It's a famous verse that we'll be, I'm sure, referencing a lot through this preaching series. At the beginning of Acts, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You see again the connection between worship and mission and between the filling of the Holy Spirit and mission. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Power. Just pray for us. Close your eyes. Just Father, we rejoice in you. We love you, God. We love you, Heavenly Father. You've given us a spirit of fear. We might fall into slavery, but adoption. Sonship, that we might say, Abba, Father. We come to you, not in fear, not thinking, oh man, we really are rubbish at this. Maybe God can help us. We come as children to a loving Heavenly Father, and we do love you. We love you. You have made me glad. And we ask God, would we be so glad in you that we could not help but tell people about you? I pray, Father, that you would send your Spirit on us now, and that we would receive power. It's not for us. Not so that we, not some kind of Marvel villain. We just want power. We want the power of God that we might proclaim the goodness of God. Holy Spirit, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses. Lord, fill us up and send us out to be your witnesses. To just witness to what we know. Here's what I know. Here's what I've seen. Just like a witness stand in the dark. I can only say what I know and what I've seen. And I tell you, God is amazing. Jesus Christ is a good Savior. He is Lord of heaven and earth. You know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And he has died. And I love him. Lord, would we be your witnesses full of the Holy Spirit? I pray for a mighty move of your Spirit in our day, O God. This is a dry and barren land. We're not in denial. We can see, the stats are not good in this country. And we can see that you've done a work in your church. You've purged some stuff from your church in recent days and years. And we pray, Lord God, now would we humble ourselves and call on your name, and would we hear from heaven? We're in need, Lord. We humbly come before you and ask, move in power among us. Move in power among us. I pray, Lord, for young people. Lord, I pray for our children out there, for the teenagers upstairs. Lord God, would you fill them with your Spirit? Would they be your witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth? Raise up missionaries among us, I pray. Lord God, raise up people who are going to say, I am going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live to make his name known in every area that I go, in whatever sphere of life I walk into. Lord, would you raise up a generation, Lord, where it's a tough time to be young. We know that. It is tough. There's so much appealing for their attention and their hearts. We pray, Lord, would you grab their hearts? Lord, work among them, we pray. They need you, just as we do and have, Lord God. And so we pray, fill your church with your Spirit. Let the church arise and proclaim the name of Jesus. It's not about us, it's about you and your name. It's not about the name of Grace Church. It's not about the name of the church in the UK. It is about the name of Jesus. The name that one day every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess. He's Lord of all. Move in power, we pray. Fill us with joy in you. Fill us with happiness and gladness to work for you, to serve you, to minister for you and your name. Glorify yourself, we pray. We're going to sing and worship and praise him. Let's give him glory.